Good morning, church. It's good to have you all here with us first Sunday in February. It seems like 2022 is cruising by, that's for sure. And so, we're beginning a new series entitled The Games We Play. If you remember several years back when we had Troy Northrup in for a revival, he did a series entitled The Games People Play and compared them to Battleship and different things. I'm not going to be doing that. I did hear the song from the 70s a couple weeks ago that prompted this was The Games That People Play. And I thought how true it is. And the thing is, we go through this world and the fact of the matter is, we think pretty highly of ourselves. And sometimes I think we chalk God up to being, when I say God the Father, even the Son and the Holy Spirit, we chalk them up to just being these pushovers, you know, the grandpa sitting in the chair and the kid comes in and, you know, gets whatever they want. We just kind of, you know, we know what they like, but yet at the same time, we're going to do what we want to do. And we play around. We mess around. Very, very rarely can we honestly say that we are a people that are dedicated from top to bottom to service of our Lord. And we may try, and Josh talked about this in Sunday school, or the devotional this morning, and Derek talked about that in his class. And yes, we in the church probably are some of the biggest hypocrites. And as we look at this and this series of the games we play, we're going to be taking a look at four individuals in Scripture, two Old Testament, two New Testament, that thought they could just play around with God, or at least that's the way I see it from my perspective. And many Christians do the same thing today. They play games with God and assume that they will come out the winner. The unfortunate thing is that not only do those that play these games with God ultimately lose, but sometimes those around them are impacted by even the games that they play. This morning, well, the first one we're going to look at is Aaron and the golden calf. Aaron and the golden calf. You've got your Bible with you. Exodus chapter 32 is where we're going to be hanging out this morning. And we'd like for you to follow along. Verses will be on the board that we want to look at. We'll kind of be jumping around. I kind of debated all week and even up through Friday. I still telling Tam, I'm like, I'm still not sure how I want to do this sermon. And so what we've got is kind of going through the chapter, and we're going to look at the things that I feel were given into, they were playing games with God. Then the second portion of the lesson, we're going to look at how you can't play games with God. You've got to be straight up and stand firm with Him. And we see that all through this chapter. So, as we get going, I just threw out the first four verses of the text for the chapter as a reminder and a refresher of the story and what takes place. And then we will get looking into that. Exodus 32, 1 through 4. Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed come down from the mountain, the people assembled about Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us a God who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land, we do not know what has become of him." And Aaron said to them, "Tear off your gold earrings, or your gold rings, which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me." Then all the people tore off the gold rings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. He took this from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made it into a molten calf. And they said, This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Now, if you go back and you just read a few chapters prior to this, we see all the wonderful, glorious, scary encounters of the 10 plagues. Then we also see how they were blessed to leave Egypt and how the Lord blessed them and they plundered Egypt and they head out. And then it's not too long before Moses is gone and in the mountains for 40 days and the people start to wander. Long before they start to wander. As we break down this chapter, we will see in this text and be reminded in verse that man in his nature is the same today as he was 4,500 years ago. And not a whole lot changes. We still like to just play games with God. First thing we want to look at this morning as we go through this text, and it'll help you to go back and read the whole chapter in its order as we go through this, because there's some I try to go in order, but there's some that we'll be kind of hopping around to try to break them down to the two areas that we want. But some of the things that we need to be aware of and we need to see from this and be warned from, and once again, it's kind of like what we talk about with the internet. There are so many good blessings that come from that. Being able to keep in contact with family, being able to catch messages from preachers and different things and study lessons that we normally wouldn't be able to, be able to contact people halfway around the world. And so there's a lot of good things, but we also know there's a lot of bad things that come from that as well. And so this is kind of the same way. It's the nature of man. Some will fall into that, and as Josh shared this morning, why is it always the things that we're tempted, you know, the good things that we like? Why aren't we ever tempted with the bad things? It'd be so much easier to say no. But Satan knows exactly how to hit us. And because some of these things, as they happen, it seems like on the surface, they're okay. And that's where I think we need to be careful as a congregation. We need to be careful as an individual Christian. Things seem okay, but when you start to peel back the layers, then you'll see that maybe this isn't quite so right. The first thing that I take from this is out of verse 6, where it says they were excited about worship. They were excited about worship. Is there anything wrong with being excited about worship? No. But you got to ask a few questions, right? We say there's nothing wrong to be excited about worship. So, is it okay to worship? We're going to worship the devil this morning. So, wait a minute. Is it okay to worship or not? What's that? Yes, it is okay to worship, but we've got to be careful who or what we worship. Okay, and so as we look at this, they were excited about worship. Boy, we get through here and look and see some of these things. If these things were going on in our church services, we'd almost call them borderline charismatics. They were so excited, right? You would have thought there was a squirrel turned loose. They was jumping pews and shouting hallelujah, right? And so this is so great, isn't it? And so what I want for us to do is be careful sometimes. Because we think this is so great, this is so new. And I totally agree with Coop and the new song, right? That's what heaven's going to be all about. We see that many times in the case of David, as he would sit down on a Friday night before their Sabbath service and he would write out a new song. And you know how some of the old priests were, oh man, we're singing a new song today, right? But as we see this, it's about the worship. It's about worshiping the Lord. It's about worshiping Him. It makes me feel so spiritual. Have we ever heard that before? It really means something to me. I've got no problem with that. But as our text says here, so the next day they rose up early. I could go into that, but I won't. And offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Were they excited about worship? Aaron's going to build an altar. Yeah. They're excited. I mean, they're excited so much they've proved it out of their pocketbook. They broke off their gold rings and earrings, and they're giving, and they're excited. And so if it's so new and so different, it's got to be right. It's got to be good. Now, I want to preface this. Just because it's new and different doesn't necessarily mean it's wrong. And so sometimes we like to hop that hobby horse, and say, well, then if it's new, it's got to be wrong. Not necessarily. Again, it's all about our focus and who that focus is on. We need to be excited about worship. But remember, it should be a worship of spirit and of truth, as Jesus tells us. As they look on from this, we're reminded in this text that my God may not be your God. Is that a possibility? Is that a possibility? Do you think the chances are? So you got friends that work in a cubicle next to you, or maybe in the assembly line down from you, and possibly they're at church services this morning. Can we honestly say they're worshiping the same God? That's a difficult task, isn't it? And so as we look at that, that's why we've got to make sure. Verse 8 says, they have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them. They have made for themselves a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed to it and said, this is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. What has happened here? What has happened? What I call the substitutionary process. I will say this, and it's happening in our country. Historical substitution will ruin a nation just as quick as it will ruin your relationship with God. Did you hear that? We've got professors and councilmen and senators and governors and congressmen all wanting to rewrite our nation's history. Was everything in our nation's history peaches and cream? Is everything great? No, but learn from it and move on. The problem is we got so many people wanting to continue to live in the past and dwell there that we fail to see what future we're messing up on. We cannot play around with a substitute for actual time spent with God. I'm so glad. I'm so happy to see each and every one of you here at the assemblies here this morning. However, there is no substitute on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday for your own personal prayer, study time, praise, and worship time with the Lord. My God may not be your God. As we get into verse 9, I believe the thought here is just because it pleases us doesn't mean it pleases God. Verse 9, the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, they are an obstinate people. Obstinate means to be stubborn. Sometimes in our Christianity, we need to be stubborn. But we also need to see when the Lord is speaking to us and telling us to change. I found this interesting. Those who know of Frank Lloyd Wright, the great architect of a generation's gone past, in 1937 built a house for an industrialist man by the name of Hibbard Johnson. One rainy evening, Johnson was entertaining distinguished guests for dinner when the roof of his brand new house began to leak. The water seeped through directly over where Johnson himself was sitting, dripping steadily onto his bald head. Irate, he gets on the phone and calls Frank Lloyd Wright, who is living in Phoenix, Arizona. He says, "Frank, you built me this beautiful house. We enjoy it so very much. But as I've told you before, the roof leaks. And right now, it's leaking right on the top of my head in front of my friends and distinguished guests. And it's leaking, as I said, right on the top of my head." To which everyone on the phone, or everyone in the room, heard Frank Lloyd Wright's answer to Hibbert Johnson was, "Hey, Hib, move your chair." Seems pretty simple, don't it? And so we may not like that situation, but it's going to fix the problem, right? Because his complaint was what? That it was leaking on top of his head. It wasn't just that he had a leak in his roof. And so the Lord, I think, sometimes looks at us and says, "You know what, Josh? You got to move. George, you got to move. You know, Mike, you got to move. Right? Dave, get the lead out. Got to move. Got to move." And when we stay there and we get to be an obstinate people, is that really a phrase we want the Lord using for us? They are good givers, but boy, are they obstinate. They love to worship, not sure what, but boy, they are stubborn. Does that sound right? We got to be careful. Got to be so careful. Because then, when these things start to happen and the changes start to take place, then our character starts to change. These people that were so grateful, these people that were so happy to have left their land of bondage, are now starting to tell lies. As we see, verse 24. "I said to them, 'Has anyone gold? Let them tear it off.' So they gave it to me. I threw it into the fire, and out came this calf." I mean, did Aaron forget who he's talking to? Is he just playing a game with God or what? I mean, God's like, "Are you serious? You've got this graving tool in your hand." "Oh, yeah." Right? That was part of the Ten Commandments, if you remember, when they come down off the mountain, graven images, right? In this country, we've kind of fallen prey to lying, and we almost expect it to a certain degree. For example, phrases that we may use or we have used on us: "The check's in the mail." Right? "The check's in the mail. I'm going to start my diet tomorrow." Right? It's always like, it's like that sign that says "free crab legs tomorrow." "If you just give me your number, the doctor will call you right back." Right? Here's one that I know George, I think back to a youth rally years ago at Holmes Hill. Brent Wright was doing the lesson, and he said he had this T-shirt that said "one size fits all." He says, "George, come on up front." George made it fit. Didn't even tear it. Stretched that booger out, though. Didn't quite bounce back, but we're told "one size fits all." It'll work, right? How about this one? "This offer is to the first 100 callers." Or this one, for those of you that travel a lot, especially by air. "Sir, your luggage isn't lost. It's just misplaced." "This hurts me more than it hurts you." "Sir, can I have just 5 minutes of your time?" It's never just 5 minutes. It's never just. Or how about, "Your table will be ready in just a few minutes." This one, I thought of this one for Michaela. open wide, it won't hurt a bit. Right? And then this one. This is one of the biggest lies. And everybody that I've ever heard say it, I know they're lying because I know the way they are with money. It's not about the money. It's about the principle. It's always about the money. Most people could care less about the principle of the thing than they'd say, just leave the money alone, right? But don't we expect lies occasionally? It's almost like we've come to, like I said, expect them. The golden calf just jumped out. It just came out. I bet it even mooed a little. Right? Well, wouldn't you if you just came out of a fire? Right? Oh, lies. But then we see some bad things start to happen. It comes about. Not that these are just the games that people play with God, but then there's the reality of situation. It's going to start to happen and take place. We see in verse 28 that death comes to the unashamed. God comes down and says, all right, guys, it's go time. It's time to get serious. Who's on my side? Right? Man and woman can get so callous by hatred and bitterness, they do not even care that they sin. Or they think that what they're doing is right. They've convinced themselves that I'll be okay with God. Verse 28 says, so the sons of Levi did as Moses instructed, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. This is a very, very sad commentary on those that had just left bondage and are headed towards the promised land. And yet then, on the flip side of it, if you read any commentary at all on the very subject, we are reminded that some 2,500 years later, on the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 men that were saved because they were obedient to Jesus Christ. In this case, 3,000 men were slain because they were disobedient to God. Then we get to judgment. Have you ever heard someone say, well, you know, we're all headed for the same place? They are 100% right. The problem is they usually have the destination wrong. They say, we're all going to heaven. I say, what? We're all going to judgment. We're all going to judgment. And judgment comes. Verses 32 and 33. But now if you will forgive their sin. This is Moses talking to God. And if not, please blot me out from your book which you have written. Moses is really trying to take one for the team here. He wants to be with, I mean, it's almost like what Paul said in the New Testament about, I would give my soul for all my kindred, kinsmen, to be able to be saved. Verse 33, and the Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out his name, blot him out of my book. Those that play around with sin will ultimately pay for their sin. Judgment is coming. You can play the game, but we need to be on the right side. And then as we see, your sin does not affect just you. Your sin does not affect just you. Verse 35, then the Lord smote the people because of what they did with the calf, which Aaron made. Aaron made the calf, and 3,000 people died because of it, because they worshiped it. Don't ever sit around and say, my sin doesn't affect anybody else. Aaron made the calf. 3,000 people fell dead because of it. What would have happened if Aaron would have said no? The whole tribe of Levi stood up with Moses. The whole tribe of Levi was Aaron's tribe, where he was at. Perhaps they would have stood with him. You know what? So many times the people just want a leader. What if Aaron would have said, who around me will take that stand? Things could have changed. Now here's looking at things from Aaron and the golden calf's point of view. We see all the bad things that took place. But here's why we don't mess around and don't play games with God. Okay? We talked about all these things. Was it the people's fault? Was it Aaron's fault? Was it Moses' fault because he was gone for 40 days and they started to wonder about him? People will play games. People will what if all the time. The fact of the matter is God's word gives us instructions on what we need to do. And so as we look at these games that we play, as we move forward and we talk about that of Moses, and we see him and the stand that he took, are you willing to take a stand as well? As a leader, Moses knew and understood that leaders cannot tolerate sin. And what I'm saying this is because example needs to be set, and so that those that follow do not tolerate sin. Verses 15 through 19, then Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand. The tablets were written on both sides, that were written on one side and the other. The tablets were God's work and the writing of God's writing engraved on the tablets. And now when Joshua heard the sound of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, there's a sound of war in the camp. But he said, it is not the sound of a cry of triumph, nor is it the sound of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing I hear. They're excited, remember? They're worshiping their God. It came about as soon as Moses came near the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger burned, and he threw the tablets from his hands and shattered them at the foot of the mountain. Leaders will fall if they fail to keep sin out of the camp. And when I say they'll fall in the eyes of God. They may be elevated among men, but they will fall in the eyes of God if we fail to keep sin out of the camp. Also, as we look at verses 22 and 23, ignorance is not an excuse. Ignorance is not an excuse. I can give you several New Testament scriptures that'll prove this point. But to say I did not know will not cut it. Verse 22 and 20, Aaron said, do not let the anger of the Lord burn, of my Lord burn. Now he's talking to Moses there, okay? Because as we see there, my Lord, he's referencing Moses. You know the people yourself, they're just prone to evil. You know? In other words, you know, boys will be boys, right? Have we heard that? For they said to me, make a God for us who will go before us. For this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Moses has been gone for 40 days. He's probably dead. I'm here to let you know that our Lord has been gone for 2,000 years, and he's definitely alive. So are we just playing games like Israel? Because God's not here? I'm sure it'll be okay with him. We need to take a stand, verse 26. Then Moses stood at the gate of the camp and said, whoever is for the Lord, come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered together to him. They stood with Moses. They may have stood with Aaron, remember? They might have. But we'll never know because Aaron gave in. We know they stood with Moses because Moses took a stand. And then the last thing I want for us to learn from this is dedication. Dedication. Are we just messing around? Are we just playing church? Is it just a game to us? Or are we dedicated? Dedicated to the Lord. Verse 29, then Moses said, dedicate yourselves today to the Lord, for every man has been against his son and against his brother, in order that he may bestow a blessing upon you today. Will you dedicate today to play no more games with God? To let your yes be yes. We've talked all about last month doing something new. Well, now we've got the next 11 months to carry that out, if the Lord tarries. Do something new. Be dedicated. You made a promise to Him, then keep it. I'm going to do this. I want to do this. I want to be more active for the Lord. I want to be more faithful. I want to be more hospitable. I want to be more caring. I want to be more compassionate. Then do it. Be dedicated. You made a promise. Keep it. For each and every one of you that came out of the watery grave of baptism, you made a promise to the Lord. You don't have to set it aside and say, I'm going to be faithful now. You said it then. Just keep it. Be faithful. Quit playing games with God. Stand by Him today. Church, it's high time that there's no more playing games. This is serious business. Our life lived for the Lord. There's a plan of salvation that's given in Scripture. It tells us that we need to believe who He is. It starts with that John 8:24. Talks about that we must believe in Him and that He that sent Him, that Jesus is the Christ, that He's the Son of God. We must also repent. Each and every one of us repent. I tell you, you will perish. We need to confess. That means come alongside Jesus Christ. What He says, we say. Where we need to change, we change. Everyone who confesses me before my Father, everyone who confesses me before men, I will confess him before my Father who is in heaven. In other words, the great God of glory is going to look at us and say, what do you think, Jesus? They're going to say, yeah, they're one of ours. To be immersed into Jesus Christ, to have your sins washed away. Acts 3:19 says, so that times of refreshing may come. Right? You ever get tired of life stinking? We've talked about the things in life that stink. Acts 3:19 says, return to God so that the times of refreshing might come. Open up that Febreze. Right? Smell the fresh air. Then be immersed into Jesus Christ and have those sins washed away. Then be faithful. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. This is for those that say, no playing games, Lord. I'm yours. I'm yours. From now into eternity. No playing games. It's time to get serious. Will you stand with us?
Sing, I Surrender All.
Oh.